Without a thought. And when it happens, I don't understand grief. I don't understand that overwhelming emotion that overtakes someone, like the flu or like a sickness, and it lasts and lasts and lasts and endures. And yet when it's all said and done, just like as we enter winter and we're entering the winter months, we're going to be then see spring if the Lord allows it to come. I don't understand why plants grow. It's the beauty of God's creation, and yet it happens every year, but I look at it in amazement and wonder why a seed grows and decides, I'm going to become a plant. For something for all of us to enjoy. I don't understand why people have hope. And how hope can inspire, and it can lift people out of the despairs of grief and of winter, to strive for things that are bigger than themselves. To reach beyond what they've been and to become something that God has intended them to be. And I understand love and people caring for one another, that they will give a hand up to those who are down low and help them to reach to the heights that God all wants us to aspire to. I appreciate them. I understand them. But there is something I do understand. And it's not because I'm smarter than anyone else, and it's not because that I have more wisdom, but I understand God's plan for you and me on this earth. I understand the mystery that has been revealed to each of us about what God created the heavens and earth to do. And that's what we want to talk about, not just this morning, but as I have the privilege to preach and to share God's word with you on Sunday mornings, we're going to talk about the mystery of God, which we understand is his plan to save each of us through Jesus Christ. And all we want to do this morning is talk about that plan and its existence and kind of outline it. Lord willing, we'll talk next about how God's wisdom was made known through that plan. And then thirdly, we'll talk about the great mystery of prophecy. And then we'll follow that up with the power of fulfilled prophecy. Then hopefully we can end with the lesson about preaching the mystery. But I want you to open your Bibles. And yes, the text will be on the screen for us. But there's something about reading God's word for yourself as you open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look exclusively at this chapter, verses 1 through about verse 9. But here Paul is going to talk about the mystery and how it's been revealed to him so he can know what it is. And we're going to learn a lot about it through him. And as you read it, I want you to consider each of the words and how many times he refers to the word mystery itself. Verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me. See, but Paul's been given a mission by the grace of God. And he's got to be a faithful steward in fulfilling this mission. Well, what is this mission, Paul? Verse 3. That by revelation there was made known to me the mystery. As I wrote it down before in brief. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, but has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. So here we see Paul introducing the mystery to us as his readers. And he talks about God's eternal plan. And we want to take this first paragraph and break it down into a series of bullet points. And the first thing I want to point out to you is that God has had an eternal plan known before it was revealed to us in the gospel as his mystery. Now, the word mystery is not something that cannot be understood, that's impossibly understood. It simply means something that is hidden or is a secret. And we're in the time of the year that many of us have secrets that we withhold from our spouses. And it's a good thing this time of the year because, well, my wife says, what are you doing? I'm shopping online. So what are you getting? I'm not telling. Said, you got a secret? Yep. And I'm proud about it. And she loves it that I have a secret because she knows I'm buying something for her because she's so very special. Some secrets are good. In this case, God had a secret. And this secret was hidden from man by God's own intention. But it doesn't mean you can't understand it. It has to be revealed by the one who made the plan. And God did reveal it in time. But notice, in other generations, the text tells us, it was not made known to the sons of men. So that means up until the time of Christ, and when the Holy Spirit revealed God's plan, people up until that day had no clue why they were here, what the purpose of life on this earth was, and what God was doing. Abraham was told to go to a strange land, and he did. And he was given this promise that he'd have a great nation, and that through his seed, there was going to become a child that would bless the whole world. He didn't understand it. And when he sees his great, well, he didn't see it, but when his great-grandson Joseph ends up sold into as a slave into Egypt, and there Joseph is wondering, what have I done to deserve this? He didn't understand God's plan. But we know that God sent him ahead of time to deliver his own people. And then they end up all moving there and they become this great nation, yet they become slaves. For upwards of 300 years, they become slaves in a strange land. And here this text says they had no idea why God was doing what he was doing. Then Moses delivers them and they cross the Red Sea only to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Now they might have known that they sinned and God had said the consequence was to wander, but why? What are you trying to teach us? What is going on here? Every event, the Babylonian captivity, the rise of the Greek Empire, the rise of the Roman Empire, was all manipulated by God to bring about his plan, but man had no idea what's going on. They just were told, you just trust God. Then he knows what he's doing, and it's all going to work out. If you believe in God, that he's powerful and true and cannot lie, trust him. But they had no clue what was going on. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, we read that this plan was laid before the foundation of the world, is before God created. And in chapter 3, in our same text we're in verse 9, we find that, verse 11, this is with the eternal purpose, which he carried out through Jesus Christ our Lord. It was an eternal plan. And then finally, in Acts chapter 2, that even included the death of Christ on the cross. Because we see that Paul, when he preaches the first sermon, they thought they just killed Jesus, but he says there he was delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. In fact, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that this mystery of God to bring Christ to save the world was not understood with intention. Paul says in verse 7 of chapter 2, God, we speak his wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age understood. For if they understood it, had understood it, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. And so God could use people in his plan without their knowing they're even being used. That's a marvelous God, isn't it? But so it was a mystery. And we're given the blessedness of, though, to have a revelation of what that mystery is all about. Because God has revealed that plan for everyone to know. Because notice as we look back at our text, he says, by revelation, there was made known to me that once which was hidden or a secret. Another generation was not made known, but verse 5 finishes, it has now been revealed to his apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So here I'm going to have a little chart over here. Here the Holy Spirit revealed miraculously with divine intervention to the apostles and the prophets God's intention from the very beginning. And Paul says, I wrote it down before in brief. That's amazing. Their minds were open through inspiration so they could know what God is up to, what he's been planning from the very beginning, and what he's continuing to carry out right now. Can you understand how excited Paul was? He says, there's been grace given to me, a mission, and this mission comes from realizing what the plan is. Now I need to participate in this plan personally, and then Paul has been given the job to promote the plan as well. Participate and promote. We'll come back to those two words in just a little bit. But not only Paul was given the blessedness to know the plan, this was written by Paul so we can read and everyone else could understand the plan. So notice what he says in the verses that we already skipped over. By referring to this, that's what he wrote before in brief. When you read, you can understand, Paul says, my insight in the mystery of Christ. So here it is. The Holy Spirit gave the Apostle Paul divine insight. Now let me ask you this. Was Paul's understanding of God's plan correct? Well, it had to be correct, because who gave it to him? The Holy Spirit, who revealed all truth. And you go, well, duh. All right, just got to make that known. That he didn't come up with one plan for the Jews, another plan for the Gentiles. Paul had one unified understanding of God's intention for the beginning of the world. And that plan has not changed, it still remains. And he knew exactly what that plan was because God revealed it to him. Now, what did Paul do with it? He said, I wrote it down, and here's the promise. When you read what he wrote, you can and will understand Paul's insight in the mystery of Christ. So here it is. When you read, you will understand, and it's not just your understanding. So you'll read it, you'll get one interpretation. You'll read it, you'll get another. Now, what will you understand? What does it say in the text? Paul says, you'll understand my insight. And where did Paul get his insight again? From the Holy Spirit. So here's the promise. Everyone in the back row, you read God's word, and you read Paul's word, excuse me, you'll get Paul's insight into the mystery of Christ. You'll understand it just like Paul. You people on the front row, you're not left out either. You read what Paul wrote, and you listen to what the Holy Spirit told him this plan was all about, you'll get an understanding of God's will, the same insight that Paul had. Now, everyone in the middle, if you don't read God's word, and you just listen to your favorite preacher, or you just formulate your own opinions, will you understand God's will? No, it will remain a secret hidden from your minds and your intellect. Why? Because you can't understand it? No, because you simply haven't chosen to read. Isn't that what it says? I wrote it, you read it, then you'll understand it. And it's just that simple. And the reason we have so much division in Christian world is because, first of all, people don't read it. They listen to what people say about it. They'll read books about it. But very few people actually read God's word. I don't know how many times I've had someone come up to me, and some of you have told me this within the last couple months. Boy, it's so great to be the part of this congregation. I've never been to a church where they actually open God's word and study it. They go, really? Well, I know, because I hear this often, and I know that's the case with many denominational groups. They don't talk from God's word. They talk about it. And if you don't read it, you can't understand it, or else you'll get a misunderstanding. Well, what about interpretation? There's only one interpretation. Paul's will give you the right one. We will understand it alike, but we will misunderstand it differently. And what I mean by that is if you don't go to the source and you listen to other people's opinions, you'll get different misunderstandings and we'll be divided. But if we all go to the source, we'll understand it alike. That is the promise. Now, what's exciting about it is I can know God's plan for myself just as well as you can know God's plan for you and what God is up to. Now, why is this so important? You hear a lot about yin and yang and good karma. Good karma teaches what? Whatever you do, it always will come back to you. So you want to get in the flow of the things where the universe is going. I mean, there was this movie. I think it was a big hit. What was it called? Star Wars. Yeah. A few people watched that, didn't they? And who is their favorite little crunchy, funny, wrinkled up guy? What was he called? Yoda. And may the force be with you, you know, and all that. And it's hijacking God's spiritual intellectual technology. I mean, it's saying you need to get in line with the force, and the force will empower you to do things greater than yourself. Isn't that true with Luke Skywalker, excuse me, because the force was with him. They're stealing these truths, which are lies. There is no force except the only force that comes from God. Because he has a plan, and everything he does in this earth and this universe is to facilitate his plan to fulfillment. And either we get in line with the plan and we have the force of God with us, or we're fighting against him. And that's what Paul says in verse 6. And I want you to understand that. Not only has God had a mystery, not only has it been revealed, we're going to see that God's plan includes you and me personally. To be specific, he says, that Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. Now let's just look at the three fellows here. Fellow heirs, that means you inherit with. Then fellow members, you belong to the same body. Fellow partakers, that means you're partners with. And here it's not just Jews, but Gentiles are made participants of this great plan. Well, this is important. I don't know, you get these false notions when you're growing up about the way things are with God and how they are spiritually. And as you read the Bible, God takes those false ideas out and puts the truth in. And one of the false notions that prevails, and I thought of it myself, was, boy, it's only really the truly spiritually blessed or elite that get it and God works with. It's only the Gentiles thought it was, at least the Jews promoted this, it was only the Jews that were his chosen people. And you had to become a Jew to become blessed with God. And Paul's trying to strike that reasoning down. He says, I don't care who you are. I don't care what background you come from. I don't care what you have done. You can be part of this plan. Because God planned to include you. To be a fellow heir, a fellow member, and a fellow participant. And he says, furthermore, that's why God made me a minister. The word minister means they're a servant. See, I got to participate in the plan, first of all. Me, the chief of sinners, he said, I was saved by the same grace that'll save you. But then after I was saved, God says, I want you now to serve in of continuing to fulfill or minister this plan. And so here are two words. Oops, I'm sorry, right there, I went too far. Sorry. Right there. To partake and to promote. Let's talk about partaking. If you're not part of God's family, a Christian, you have missed out on God's very purpose for creating the world. And everything that's happened since that time. Everything that God is doing now, I don't understand it because he didn't give me a memo of why he's doing what he's doing. But I know the overarching plan. It's to save man through Jesus Christ. And to keep those that are in Christ, to keep them saved so they can serve him until Christ comes again. Now, he will take care of the nations and the kingdoms of men. He will take care of the weather. He'll take care of all the earthquakes and the tsunamis. That's his job. But we have our responsibility to involve ourselves in the plan. And the first one is to be a participant. And that means he asks each of us to let Jesus not just become a resident in our life, but as I said in our class, president in our life. that we'd bend our knee before him and say, Lord, I'm yours. I give myself to thee because I understand you died for me and you want me to become part of your family. And if you haven't done that, and you haven't asked Jesus, what should I do? He says, it's simple. You just repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and I'll add you to my family. And you can now immediately be part of this big plan. A fellow heir, a fellow member, a fellow participant. And let me just say this. If a person knows what to do, but refuses to do it, for whatever reason, they are not working with the force, but they're working against it. They're wasting their life. Everything that God put us here and intended us to take part of, we're letting it slip by. Let me talk about those then that have partaked, but now he wants us to promote. Now, how do you promote it? Promote it is that you're walking with Christ. You're letting your light shine in such a way that people see your good works and they glorify God. We're part of the plan rather than part of the problem. We've been blessed with a lot of young people here and older folks with wisdom. But let me just stress some of the young. We have a lot of young men right now that it's just really exciting. I have to pick some out. Josiah, Kevin, and Ryan, and Jordan, and Dane. And I release them. And the Walker boys. And I understand most of all of you participated in the plan. You became a Christian. God wants you now to start promoting the plan. Most of you guys are married. God has given you a marriage that is blessed. And if we don't use that to promote God's plan, we have wasted our marriage and we'll waste the rest of our life on this earth. Second of all, we have some of you young folks that have kids. Josiah and Kevin now. I'm missing a baby. Nathan, yeah, back. Oh, yeah, Nathan. They are gifts from God, aren't they? That's what the Bible tells us. And what a blessed opportunity to raise that child to understand God's plan in their life so they can participate it themselves. And so when they grow up and leave the family, they can promote that plan as well. And if we get so caught up in our life as parents in this world that we don't take advantage of that opportunity to direct our child by example ourselves and also by teaching so they can be part of the plan, we've wasted that opportunity with our kids. And I know that so seriously because I feel the pain of watching my children not follow the Lord. And realize how I have looked back and wasted some opportunity because I was too busy doing something that I should have, and when I should have been paying attention to them. Don't waste the opportunity that God has given us. It's a blessed privilege to have those children, to be part of something bigger than himself. And that's God's mystery, his plan for you. Forsake all other things, if that's what it takes, and follow him. Isn't that a beautiful idea? Now notice, this is the most important, and it's our last point. God had a plan, and it's what rules in this world, this universe. It is the force, if you would. God's revealed that plan, so we're all without excuse. We can know what it is. No one can say, well, I didn't know. It was a mystery. Why didn't you discover what it was? And by reading and finding it out for yourself, because we all can know. Thirdly, we can all participate in it. Everyone, to the fullest of the ability and the opportunity that God has given us. And that's exciting. It gives purpose to your life. Because when you're going against his plan, your marriage will fail, your children will not be good failures, and life in general will be a mess. You say, well, I might be rich and wealthy. Do we have to talk about the rich fool? That he was rich and wealthy, built bigger barns, and then his life was required of him that night. And what did the Lord say? Thou fool. Call him a fool. And so success is being by being part of the plan. And here's the fourth point that I think is so empowering to all of us. God's plan will always succeed. Put in the negative, it will never, ever fail. Yes, there will be temporary setbacks. There will be specific battles that are lost, but overall, the war has already been won. Christ is victor, and he will succeed, And if you choose to join his army and join his cause, you will succeed with him. It's guaranteed. So how do you know that? Notice what he says. Paul says, to me, the very least of apostles. I love that. Least means, you know, I'm just the smallest. Paul had shame that he carried with him for killing Christians. You realize that? Forgiven of the guilt, but the shame he carried with him. He said, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle. Not fit. I'm the very least of all saints. That's the littlest. Thank you, Paul. I love your humility. But he does that with good purpose because he said, I'm the chief of sinners. I tried to destroy the church. I was working against God's plan. But God, because of his grace given to me, he gave me a prominent role in the administration of his plan. Now, the administration means the management of the affairs of someone else. It's like you're made the CEO or the chief operating officer or something of a corporation, and you're asked, now carry out the mission of this business. And God called Paul and says, I'm putting you in charge of preaching this great plan so people can participate in it to all the Gentiles. Paul goes, me? Yes, you. Now go. What a grace, a blessing that was, considering what he had done. He says unfathomable riches. That means you can't search them out. You can comprehend them even if God tried to. It's something you'll never understand until you get there. And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, there it is. That's mean the fulfillment of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in Christ. It's the management of someone else's affairs. In this case, it's the management of God's affairs. We find that it's in chapter 1 of this same book, in verse 9, that the fulfillment of the mystery was the summing up of all things in Christ. It all makes sense in Jesus. Out of Christ, nothing makes sense. We find also in chapter 3, in verse 9, it was the plan of the Creator. This is important. This Paul uses the word the Creator here because he's calling into our understanding who's making this plan. A lot of people have made plans on this earth that have failed, haven't they? But God, the Creator, has made this plan. If he can create the heavens and the earth and raise up nations, do you think there's any way he will ever fail? If you're saying, well, I'm not sure, consider what he says in Isaiah chapter 14 when he's speaking about his plans against the nations of that day. Surely the Lord has sworn, just as I've intended, it'll happen. Just as I planned it, so it will stand. Then in verse 27, the Lord of hosts has planned it. Who can frustrate it? And he has for his stretched out hand. Who can turn it back? And he's trying to get us to understand that if God said he's going to do something and he's planned something, no one's going to stand in his way. You're talking about having a force with you, a power that is bigger than yourself. Work within God's plan. I love Gamaliel in Acts chapter 5. They were considering whether they're going to kill the apostles of Christ who were preaching the mystery of this God's plan to save man. And that's when Gamaliel says, whoa, let's slow down here. And he gives some really sage advice. And he says, you know, we've had people that rise up and start rebellions, and then they just faded away. He gives a mention of a couple of them. Verse 37 is Judas of Galilee. He rose up in his days of the census, drew away some people after him. They too perished, and all those who followed him were scattered. See, a lot of men have had plans, and they all fail. So notice what he says. So in this present case, this is Gamaliel, I say to you, stay away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or action should be of men, it will be overthrown. He understands it. Men are not going to prevail in the long term. But notice what he says next, verse 39. But if it is the plan of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. Or else you may even be found fighting against God. This is powerful. You're talking about karma. Those that fight against God's people are fighting against God himself. and they will receive due compensation upon their own head. But those that are working for God will have the power of God behind them, and we will always prevail without exception. We just have to believe it so. We know the plan. It's been revealed to us. We're participating in it. We will succeed. There's no doubt. And that's where we're going to look in our next lesson about the church and its role in that plan. But let me just share this with you. Last night, yesterday, we had, as we already mentioned, two of fellow members, fellow heirs, fellow partakers in Christ passed from this earth. Vera Parkhurst and Roger Simpson. Vera's struggled a long time with her health. And, you know, she was battling this MRSA, and she, you couldn't even see her without getting gowned up. Do you think it's a blessing for her now to be with her Father in heaven? You think if you could ask her back and God would deem it possible that she'd want to come back? No. And the same thing was true with Richard. I'm sorry, Richard's his son. And Richard will be here, Lord willing, next week. He said, I'm crying alligator tears, but they'll be gone next Sunday. I hope to be there. And I said, you sit right where your dad sat. Richard was a son that everyone would love. He would there swabbed out his mouth, wiped his forehead. Well, the rest of the family's gone. He spent night and day with his dad. And we were concerned, well, I was, that no one was going to be with him when his father passed in the hospital. But it's amazing what happened, and it's a testimony to God working in our lives as we're promoting the plan. That first of all, Donna and Bonnie showed up, followed by his Roger's sister, and then, Nancy Nowak showed up, and then I'm missing someone. So I went home, it's like, because I thought, boy, they have a lot of family and support around them, and we expected him probably to go through the night. But then later in the day, they pulled his oxygen, and that started his quick demise. BJ showed up, then his brother John Paul showed up, Richard's girlfriend shows up. But I want to tell you what our brothers and sisters in Christ did. Well, he's going through the last stages of death. And if you've never witnessed someone who died, you should, because it is on your agenda. There's a date on your calendar that says the day you'll die. It's coming, unless Christ comes first. Roger always thought he would live until Christ came. He really did. He thought, I'll be here. Well, he didn't make it, but he said, I want to go home. He had no fear at all. He was ready to die, and he spoke about it openly, and it inspired those around him. But your brothers and sisters sat with him so he wouldn't be alone, and they sang gospel songs while he was giving up his last breath. Amazing grace, and I'll fly away. Now, did he die during that song?
Right after
that song. And we know that angels come and escort that spirit to heaven. That family was moved, I have to tell you, by your presence. They've told me. And there's not any greater message and testimony to the plan of God and the love of Christ than you gave right then by being there with a brother. They had no idea what a family we were, fellow members, right? And it's going to have an effect on Richard as well. Now, I say all that is, we're not going to fail, because where's Roger right now? He's looking down and from heaven, if he can see us, and saying, thanks, I'll see you later, but I'm not coming back. You know, he's living in glory because he chose to participate in that plan. I don't know how, I can't say enough about what a beautiful thing it is we have in Christ. I don't understand a lot of things. I don't understand football now that I really think about it. Horseshoe Stadium, this is yesterday, 100 and, oh boy, this is, oops, I had it right there, 110,040, record attendance. That's Ohio State against Michigan. I understand why they pack it in there for a game. Well, I understand the implications because this is number 2 and 3 in the nation. The winners get to go to the playoffs and maybe be the national champion. It went to double overtime. It's probably one of the game of the year. But do you remember who won the national championship last year? You go, no. Do you even care? No. Will anyone remember who won the national championship this year 3 or 4 years from now? Probably not, except for the people that follow football fanatically, or people that were a fan of the team that won it, or they wouldn't even care about this game unless you were there or you played in it. Isn't that true? I don't understand how come we can pack 110,000 people in one stadium. That's a lot of people. That's all of Salem, pretty much. But we can't get 1% of those people to go to worship the next day. They're not in worship right now. Most of them are not, the large majority, because they don't understand the mystery of God, God's plan for them. Now, luckily, that's not you and me, or else we wouldn't be here as well. And what we want to do and achieve in this lesson series is you to become just as passionate and just as rabid as those fans. You're yelling and screaming for your side, and when there's a victory in Christ, when someone's born into Christ, and when someone dies and goes to heaven, those are victories on both ends, aren't they? Someone is saved and made a child of God, and someone gets to go home to be with God. And we're just as passionate, we're just as excited, we're all in, just like those fans. Because when you get that, that means you understand the mystery, the unfathomable riches of Christ and the grace that has been given to us. Read it, study it, make it your own. Don't be on the sidelines anymore. But in trust and faith in God, let's all become partakers of the plan. We're going to sing this song, I'll Fly Away. And if you're with us and you want to have that sung at the day that you die, become a Christian right now. Shall we stand and shall we sing?